So we're going to talk about that a little bit, and you'll be glad that this was one message, and last night I decided to break it into at least one and a half, if not two. But I shortened it a little bit. Got to turn the microphone on, got to turn this thing on. Hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that word for word is not the same one in John 1, that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That one's logos. This one is rhema. It's like God has a word for you. And I was thinking about this, like, how does God speak to us? How does God speak to us? And one of the thoughts I had was Psalm 19, 1-4. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Were there a lot of stars and stuff out west? They say it's big sky country, right? Really? Yeah. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So you can go to China and see the stars. You can go to South America and see the stars. And here you can see the stars. And they're speaking. And their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And you ever drive in the car, and you're looking up in your window, and you see the stars? Even when I lived in the city, we get on the interstate or something, and you see the stars, and you feel about this big. It's like, what are the stars saying? There is a God. God is big, and you're little. That's one of the things they say to me. You know, like, God is just awesome. He's, like, so awesome. And we're like, and what is man that you are mindful of him? Like, God actually thinks and cares about me, and I'm so little. So we can hear through creation. And Titus 1:3 says the word, that logos, the written word, was manifested through preaching. We hear through preaching. That's why we came today, to hear, right? You're hearing, but I would encourage you to logically assimilate the words you hear, but really in your heart, to be listening if God has a word for you. God might have a special, specific word for you, or many today. And in order to hear, you have to listen. You have to listen. And sometimes God gets our attention so that we'll listen. You ever have a kid who doesn't listen? And then you get their attention and they start listening, you know. And so we have to listen in order to hear. Or we put ourselves in a place that we can hear, right? We came here. If you want to listen to music, you go to an orchestra or a concert or turn on the radio. You put yourself in a place to hear. And you pay attention. And you listen with your spiritual ears. You're listening for the voice of God. You're listening for God to tell you something. So if you want to hear, you have to listen. Put yourself in a place to hear and pay attention. And so we find this word in Mark 4:4. I love this part. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We can live by it. It's our sustenance. When God tells us something, it's ours. And nobody can take it from us. And we live by it. Here's another place it's used. Luke 5:5. Peter says, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. So Jesus told Peter a word, and that word was for Peter. It wasn't for he didn't tell the other disciples to let down the net, right? He told Peter to let down the net. And of course, it made it to the Bible, so it's for all of us. But at the time, it was for Peter, right? And it increased his faith. The word that Jesus told him increased his faith. So after he had caught nothing all night, at his word, he let down the net and caught a whole pile of fish. And then he says to Jesus, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Like, he recognized, this is God. This is the maker of the fish, you know. And so hearing increased his faith. He believed Jesus was God. He believed he was resurrected. And then here's another way we can get faith past milestones of ourselves and others. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is. And we live by faith now, right? We live by faith now. We don't live in yesterday's faith. You can't live in yesterday's faith. You might have been, had an awesome walk with God, been with other awesome believers, moved mountains, you know, led 10,000 people to the Lord in a stadium, you know, done miracles, whatever. You might have done that yesterday, but that's not today's faith. That's yesterday's faith. And like, you might have been in a place where you experienced God yesterday, and you can't recreate it today. You can't live in yesterday's faith. And but that being said, we can be strengthened by yesterday's faith. This is a milestone. I heard one message, the guy said, it's a stake. I guess in America we drive tent stakes, but you know, it was a milestone. It's a marker. We remember that. And so we look at, in the Bible, it's always talking about, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's reminding them, I promised Abraham these things, I promised Isaac these things, and I promised Jacob these things, and you're Israel. You're the children of Jacob. And so he's reminding them of who they are and where they came from. And then, obviously, Hebrews 11, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Paul writes in 11:32, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. There's actually a lot of the heroes of faith missing from that section because there's not enough places to list it, right? Not enough time. Time would fail them. And we probably have people that we know or we met or even that we heard about in the Bible, but also in real, not in the Bible, but also in more modern history, I guess you'd say. And now, like today, like current history, like yesterday, people that we see. I think of my grandfather Smith, sat at the Bible every morning, or at the table every morning reading his Bible. And just an example, you think about somebody like John Ford, who had cancer for years and in such pain, but at the same time he had peace. The peace of God was on him, and you could tell. You could tell. And it's like Pastor Schaller, Mason Hutchinson. Read missionary biographies. Missionary biographies. People that have like walked with God by faith. Increase your faith by watching somebody elderly who has walked with God a long time and is still walking with God. It's like, wow, I didn't put Bill and Maureen on the list. Do you want to be on the list of the elderly that have walked with God a long time and are still walking with God? Yeah, okay, they're elderly. There's John. You want to be on the list? I didn't put some people I forgot. Dennis, you know, I'm sorry if I forgot your name. It's elderly. That would be on the list. But Andy, you know, the Carlsons, Katie Christensen, you know, your mom, Catherine Stell, Legia's mom, Eugenia, Beverly Spillman. And there's even one that's 80 years old. And I think we need to sing happy birthday to him. Will Spillman. Who wants to lead us in happy birthday? You want to lead us in happy birthday?
Sure.
Okay, come on. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you, Will. Happy birthday to you. Yeah. Thank you for walking by faith for so many years and continuing to show up and continuing to walk by faith. It's an example, right? It's a milestones of others and ourselves too, like in our own life. And to the Israelites, they were like, look at God, the God who brought you out of slavery. You know, remember the Passover. Look at that God. And we say, he's the God who saved me. Right? He's the God who was with me when I was a child. Whether you were saved as a child or not, you can still see how it's a wonder I wasn't dead. You know, some of the things that happened, God's hand was on me. He was with me. But maybe he was with you in boot camp or in college or in prison or through something drastic that happened or something great that happened. He was with you. He was with you in Romania. He was with you wherever you were. And remember what he did last week? We might not remember it, but we know he was faithful, right? We heard testimonies this week, you know. And he's faithful, and that's an inspiration to us. And if you want your faith increased, look at milestones and look at milestones of others. I really encourage you to read missionary biographies. They're very inspiring. Even if you don't want to be a missionary, it'll just inspire you to walk with God. But we don't live in them. We don't live in the past. We live now. And we plan for the future. We hope for the future, but we're actually living now. Faith is now. We're trusting now. And in that sense, we're living in eternity. It says, now faith is, just like his name is I Am. He's outside of the past, present, and future. And we walk with God. And then, the character and nature of God. I missed one. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Well, who is Jesus? Right? If you're going to look to him, you need to know him. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So faith comes from hearing, right? Hearing by the word of God. And also, faith comes from Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author. We know our position in Christ, and we look at him with that perspective. So John 1:14 says, in 17, he was full of grace and truth. He's full of it. Grace and truth. And so fiery darts are coming, right? We have a shield of faith. The fiery darts, lies from Satan, they're coming. And they say, God won't give you grace this time. Well, that's a lie. And that it's against the character of God, right? He's full of grace and truth. And you say, oh yeah, I know his nature. I don't believe that. Come boldly to the throne of grace to find grace and mercy in time of need. We can come, it's a throne of grace. That's where we come. In the glory of God, the glory of God, John 1:14, Hebrews 1:3, he is the brightness of his glory. You ever struck with maybe fear or confusion? And like, how do you get out of that? How do you get out of that? Try just worshiping God in his glory. Like, he is glorified. Glorify him. And nothing compares to him. Your faith will come from knowing his nature and character, knowing him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The word, the written word. When temptation comes, we can boldly say, it is written. And there's an authority in that. And that is Jesus Christ. He is the written word. And we increase our faith by reading and believing this. The word. The light. You might find yourself in a very dark place one day, or maybe you have, and only know that you need light. You need light. Maybe depression. They say depression. No, actually, I know firsthand. Depression is very dark. It's a very dark place. And but darkness doesn't comprehend God's light. Like, light makes the darkness flee, right? So crawl to God like the woman who was going to touch the hem of his garment. Just go to God, and you'll get the light. You'll get the light, and it'll break the darkness. Just know the nature and character of God. You know where to go. to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Life. And this is nothing new for us, right? We could just meditate on this and bask in it. It might be new for some. Learn it, receive it. But for others, like, we've known this a long time, and it might seem elementary, the characteristics of God, but we need to just bask in it and just be in awe again, like, wow, yeah, like, this is my God. This is my God. Life, the living water, the bread of life, and look in the mirror and see a miracle of life. He created you. But then look at the giver of life, eternal life, and be amazed. His nature is not death. Are you having problems with your flesh that produces death? And then after, you may try to confess and return to God with rebound, and then Satan tells you, you can't walk with God. Let's continue in death. No, that's not God's nature. God's nature is, like, he'll convict you of sin, the death, walking in the flesh. He'll convict you of that, but he's not going to condemn you when you're trying to come out of it. He's not going to condemn you. He's waiting there with life in everlasting arms. And if you're being attacked with legalistic thoughts, God's nature is life. Turn to him. Creator. We touched on this briefly. Colossians 1:16 is a great section, that all things were created through Jesus Christ. It's a great section talking about the deity of Christ. If you ever meet anybody that doesn't believe Jesus is God, who created everything? Jesus, all things through him. Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. His invisible attributes are being understood by the things that are made. Understanding invisible attributes, that's kind of like faith, right? So understanding creation, we trust God more. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. It's like people who have creation, they have a witness, and they don't worship the Creator. They're without excuse. And they say the Blue Ridge, or like the gentleness of God, you see in the blue on the top and the sunset or something. And the Rockies are like the majesty of God. The creation is amazing. And faithfulness. You can trust when God says that wearing a granny hat is going to be good, it's going to be good. See? Even though it doesn't make any sense to you, God knows better. He is faithful. His entire life, all the way to the cross for us, he was so faithful, and he is so faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. What greater faithfulness? Nothing's greater. You can trust him. He's faithful and trustworthy, and we can trust him, which is faith. He's eternal. Micah 5:2. He'll be born in Bethlehem, whose goings forth are from everlasting. He's eternal. John 5:8-58. Before Abraham was, I am. He's not temporary. Here today, gone tomorrow. You know, it makes me sad when I see little kids and they really want a relationship with one of their parents, and then their parents promises them they're going to come see them, or they're going to do this with them or do that, and then they don't. You know, and things happen, I know that, but like, to have that, but God's not like that. He's not here today and gone tomorrow. God is faithful. God's a rock. He's always with us, and you can trust him. Looking for mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. We look for it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We look for that. Authority. Authority. Matthew 28:18. All authority has been given unto me. Go therefore. Right? Like, we have authority because he has authority. So if he tells us to go, we can trust him that we're under his authority and it's okay. We're under his covering. Yeah. All the miracles, casting out demons, victory over sin and death. Like, you can't read in Ephesians toward the end of chapter 1, just the amount of authority he has, it'll blow your mind. It's more than we can even imagine. He's got so much authority. We can trust him. And in that sense, we don't have to fear either, right? If there's a demonic attack, we don't have to fear that because God has the authority. Holiness. The train of his robe filled the temple. Holy, holy, holy. When you get a glimpse of his holiness, you'll believe more if you're not afraid. If you're not in Christ, his holiness might make you afraid, right? But Psalm 29:2, a couple other Psalms and Chronicles talk about the beauty of his holiness. Anybody ever been worshiping God and like meditating on his holiness? And just, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. When we have the righteousness of Christ and we can approach, his holiness is so beautiful. And that increases our faith. Tied to that is righteousness. Jeremiah 23:6, he is called the Lord our righteousness. And Satan may tell you, you can't walk with God, you're not righteous. But when you see he's our righteousness, Satan doesn't have an accusation for that. And our faith, understanding his righteousness, quenches the fiery darts. Is it the best for last? Love. Maybe this should have been first. 1 John 4:10, and this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Galatians 5:6, faith working through love. Not human love. It's agape love. The more I receive God's love, the more I have it to give. And I'm trusting him. I'm trusting him because he loves me. And if you know somebody loves you, you can trust them, right? And God loves us unconditionally. Unconditionally, we can trust him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that's where faith comes from. Don't take your eyes off of Jesus. Don't take your eyes off of Jesus. And when we take our eyes off of Jesus, we might stray, right? This is 1 Timothy 1, 5-7. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. So it starts off with love. The purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. From which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk. They strayed from love because they didn't have sincere faith. And desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. Teachers that stray from the purpose of love. Stray from the purpose of love. Idle talk. If you're talking, how can it be idle? Like you're moving, you know. But you're not idle, but the talk is idle. It's like, even if it's logical, from the Bible, sound teaching, it can be idle. If it's off topic and an interruption of the spirit, the direction God wants to go, the King James Version says, vain jangling. Vain jangling. So people are talking, but it's vain, right? It's like a car's running, but it's in park. You got to get it moving. And sometimes we'll see that maybe next week. One of the ways we get faith is from faith. Once you get moving, like a parked car, you can't turn the wheel. Well, now it'll lock on you in the new ones. But the old ones, all us old folks who ever drove a car without power steering, you can't turn the wheels until you get it moving. And like we step out in faith. And then we get more faith. And sometimes sincere faith is not saying something at the time, even though you know it's right, it's correct, but just to hold, bite your tongue and not say it because of love. It's not the right time to say that. And the flip side is true. Some people need to speak up. Maintain faith. Be careful as we get knowledge to stay in love. We got to maintain it. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and knowledge. 1 Corinthians 8:1, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So knowledge will puff us up and love will build us up. And does it edify? What we're about to say, does it edify? Does it build us up? Timing's everything. A word in season. Just because you have something to say doesn't mean that we should say it now. And like, I'll take, for example, somebody that's kind of, they're fallen, but they're hurt. And maybe it's correct that they're fallen in a certain area, but maybe it's not our place to correct them. Maybe the Holy Spirit or somebody more gentle will come along and do it. And also how we say things. 1 Timothy 6:20, 21. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. So people are calling it knowledge. They must be very intelligent, right? They're calling it knowledge. It's falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Don't ever quit looking at Jesus. Don't ever quit looking at the nature and character of God. Know God and look at him and gaze at him and appreciate him. And then the knowledge will be coupled with love because you'll be receiving his love. Jude 20 to 21. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So building yourself on your most holy faith, and it couples it with three aspects of the nature and character of God. Like, it's the nature and character of God. To know him and know who he is so important for our faith. Jeremiah 9:24. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Understand and know God. I've got some really good stuff here. Really good stuff, but I'm not going to say it now. Looks like y'all getting sleepy. So I'm going to save that. And I'll just leave it with this. And we'll come back to that next week, though. But faith is a mystery. And these sources of faith, they're intertwined. It's one faith. We walk before God, and we'll stand before God at the Bema Seat by ourselves, right? But we follow the faith of others. We receive faith in the body, which we'll talk about next week. It's a mystery. And we say to God, step by step, you'll lead me, and I'll follow you all my days. And he leads, and we follow. And that's faith. You know, we trust him that he's going to lead us in the right direction. And he will. And that's the other thing. Like, all of the politics and all of the things going on, if we focus on that, we can get very disturbed, very anxious maybe. But if we focus on God, then we'll just wait till it stops, right? Can't focus. If we focus on God, What is that, Steve? Oh, can you turn it off? Thank you. Yeah. So, we'll just focus on God instead of the things around us, the politics, everything. And it's fine to be informed, but we really need to follow God. And we can trust God. We can't trust everything else we hear. We don't know half the stuff. We don't know what's truth and not what we hear. But when we hear the voice of God, his sheep hear his voice and they know him. Yeah. We can know him. And I think that's one of the things that's going to frustrate the Antichrist spirit so much. They're going to profile everybody with computers and everything. And they won't be able to profile us because we're just going to be led by the Holy Spirit. And we can't profile God. But anyway, let's pray. Father, help us to see spiritual things and realities, the invisible things, the great things, how great you are. And we trust you, Lord. We trust you. Lead us, Lord. We hear your voice. Just lead us in these dark times, in these last days. You are the light. We come to you, Lord. If there's anyone here who doesn't know Jesus, who doesn't know, and they want to know Jesus, he can show himself to you. As many as call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on him. Call on Jesus. Talk to me after church. Lord, we just we trust you, Lord. We just pray that you'll speak to us and show us great things. Give us unity and help us to walk together, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.